WLFE DB Radio.
Live from the studios of J Wolf Productions, metal maniacs around the globe unite. Prepare for Metal Mayhem ROC. This is the show where you, a metal musician, a metal maniac, or a new fan of the genre, can be interactive and participate in the show. Now, welcome our hosts, John the Vernomatic Verno and Metal Forever Mark.
Hello and welcome to another edition of Metal Mayhem ROC. Today, we talk with heavy metal comedian Jim Florentine. Jim will share with us some of his early metal shows, how he got into some early 70s metal from his older brothers. He gives us his Mount Rushmore of top bands. He shares with us a really cool metal confessions. And he goes backstage and tells us about that metal show with Eddie Trunk. All that and more as the Vernomatic and Metal Forever Mark bring you Metal Mayhem ROC.
Look, man, it's always good to talk metal. There's not a lot of us left.
Yeah,
you know,
sadly.
We're like, you know, it's a little, you know, so whenever you always gravitate towards the metalheads when you find them, because then you could just talk shop with them.
Oh, yeah.
So
first question I had for you is, what were your heavy metal influences early on? Like, what got you into metal to it?
My older brothers, they were like 5 years older than me when I was growing up. So I was maybe 10, 11, 12 at the time. They were 16, 17. They were into metal. So they were just bringing music home. I was driving around in a car with them in the back seat. And they were taking me to shows, so I got into, you know, AC/DC, Black Sabbath, Ted Nugent, Aerosmith,
yeah,
even Boston, you know, the Cars, stuff like that, the Doors, the Rolling Stones. So I had no choice but to listen to it, because I would just hang with my older brothers all the time, and I'd share a room with them, and they'd just be cranking Double Live Gonzo, or, you know, Sabbath and stuff like that. So, and then they were taking me to shows when I was a kid. They convinced my parents, let them come. Let them go to the show. We'll watch them. No problem. I was smoking weed at 12 years old, going to concerts. It was great.
Well, we have an age difference. I'm 51. How old are you?
28.
Okay. Right. Well, in a few years, yeah. I was the same way. My older brother's like 4 years old.
Right.
So there I am looking through his albums, picking up Farewell to Kings. I'm like, look at this fucking thing.
Yeah.
You put it on. And you get into it. And so
So that's how it happened. Yeah. And, you know, I saw AC/DC with Bon Scott when I was a little kid.
What was your first show?
Black Sabbath, Van Halen.
Oh, the 78.
Yeah. Which Van Halen did not blow Sabbath off the stage. I was there. It's a myth. I asked Tony Iommi on that metal show if that was true. And he said no.
Where did you see it? Down in Jersey?
Who?
No. Where did you see it? What venue?
Oh, Madison Square Garden.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, so that was like a rumor that was kind of...
That was always a rumor, because first of all, people don't realize that if you research, the Van Halen record came out in like March of 78. By the time they played The Garden in August, and even that whole tour,
yeah,
they were only playing You Really Got Me on the radio.
Mm-hmm.
And there was the cover version of the King song. So that was the... And they weren't blowing up. They weren't... You know, yeah, they were good, but most of the people had no idea who fucking Van Halen was.
Yeah.
Maybe by August, the second single was out, Running with the Devil, but it wasn't... They didn't blow up overnight.
Yeah.
It took a long time for that first record to really start hitting. And then they put Van Halen 2 right out after that, so they got the momentum. But they weren't... So maybe the people in the audience knew, maybe, I don't know, 3,000 people had that Van Halen record and knew it, and 17,000 knew one song.
Yeah.
So they weren't blowing on, like, oh my God, I don't know what this, I never heard any of this, but this is amazing.
Shut your radios on!
So how did you get, and again, I know we can, you know, we research this, but I think like myself, I didn't know, like, how did the whole That Metal Show come together? How did you cook up with Don Jameson and Eddie Trunk? Like, how did that whole thing?
On the road, we do front gigs on. So we're driving home. We're listening to Eddie playing Raven and Sax. And we're like, who the fuck is this guy?
Exactly.
Holy shit. He likes the same shit that we do. Yeah. And then a month later, we meet him at a concert and we say, hey, man, we're big fans of yours and we're comedians. He goes, oh, man, I love having comedians come on my show. Oh, if you guys were off on a Friday night, come up to my radio show, hang. Mm-hmm. We'll talk metal, we'll talk music, fuck around. And then, you know, cut to 6 months later, he goes, I already work at VH1. I'm going to pitch a show, a heavy metal talk show, like The Tonight Show.
Oh, he was already at VH1 at that point?
Yeah, he was doing some other interview show. Oh, yeah. He goes, I already got an in. I'm going to basically pitch a Tonight Show for AC/DC fans, and I want you guys as co-hosts. Let's see what happens. And then we did a show, and it took off from
there.
And then
that was 7-year run? 8-year run? How many years?
I don't know, 2008 to 2015, 7 years, incredible. 130 episodes.
And the ratings were awesome, right? I mean,
I think so, yeah. I mean, they don't tell a talent because they don't want you to know if you got good ratings because then you're going to want more money.
The producer did
it one time because the ratings for Lars, it's like season 5, the first episode or whatever, they go, went through the roof, and then he got scolded by the VH1. Don't ever tell a talent what the ratings are because they're going to want more money. We didn't care. As long as it was on the air and they kept showing the show over and over again, it gave us great exposure.
You're listening to Metal Mayhem ROC.
With That Metal Show, dude, you got to see all of them, right? I mean, guitarists, singers, bands, which ones stick out? Like, just interviews you did or guys that you were like, man, this is so awesome.
Well, Lemmy always coming on was great. Lemmy was not like
three. Who was cool and who was a dick?
No one was a dick. People always ask that question. They always want to know cool, who was a dick.
Yeah.
I don't know why. People always ask that. Was there anyone a dick?
Maybe once you're not fanboy and you're more on the bad side.
No, but it's weird, though, when everyone always like, who's a dick? Everybody wants to know that. Nobody wants to know. No, look, Eddie knew all these guys, basically.
Right,
he was in the radio business for 30 years or whatever at that point.
Pretty much almost got everybody, pretty much.
Yeah, so no one was a dick because Eddie's already had a relationship with them, and they knew that, you know, if Dokken was coming out with a new record, he's not going on a Tonight Show to promote it, but he'll come on our show.
Right.
And that will be like the Tonight Show for him. So no one, everyone knew, and there's, you know, we didn't catch them in their 20s when they could have been dicks, you know. You know, in their 40s and 50s, they know it's a business, and we got to sell some shit, and we, you know, and this show is big for metalheads.
Yeah,
they're not gonna be dicks. So I didn't. There was not one person that was a dick.
Did you guys have any influence who you brought on? Well, you did, but
yeah, I mean, we definitely make suggestions. Like, we need to get this one on. They weren't sold on it because they didn't know anything about metal. The people at the channel. So we'd have to basically tell them, no, you need to get this guy on, this guy. They always like, no, we need a face like, you know, Bret Michaels. We need him on every week because people know him from Rock of Love. And if they change the channel, they go, oh, there's that guy from the dating show. I'm like, no. Put Tony Iommi there. I think when it was Bill Ward that we had on or somebody from Sabbath. He was old and he just sat there. I go, believe me. I go, it doesn't matter. People want to hear fucking Bill Ward was going to say.
Like, yeah,
no one at home's going, God, the guy's not moving around.
No,
he's got to jump up in the air and do a karate kick.
Like when you had Uli Roth on there.
Right.
Like, come on. That's great.
I know. I'm like, no, don't believe me. People. And then you have why me and Don cut down the comedy a lot. Like, they want us to be more like comedians on that. I go, look, man, if I'm at home, I don't want these fucking guys cracking, you know, fucking taking too much time up doing like these comedy bits when you got Steve Harris there. I want to hear what Steve Harris has to say.
Yeah, sure.
So I'm like, no, we're going to focus more on that. So a lot of crowd didn't even know we're comics. I go, no, we are, but I just know what you guys like.
As bands age out and they get older and they get replacement members, does that become a watered down version? Like people are saying now, like, oh, Judas Priest is almost more like a cover band now. Although there's three guys that have been there for a long time. But then you say, like you mentioned Bon Scott, AC/DC. Well, nobody said anything that it wasn't AC/DC when Brian Johnson came in. Many would say he made the band. So I don't know. I think this idea that other performers can come in and make a band, right?
Well, Brian Johnson, Bon died, so you couldn't go,
right,
well, oh man, Bon wanted more money and he left the band.
Yeah,
you know, and you're like, fuck, I want Bon back. So if he dies, someone dies in the band, like, okay, well, I got no choice. When Cliff Burton died too, you're like, right, well, they need a new bass player. So
but when Blaze Bailey leaves and Dickinson comes in, then that's a different scenario, clearly.
Yeah.
I mean, that didn't count though, because that didn't last.
Listen,
that
you gotta realize, like, these guys get together in their early 20s, they're fucking out of control, mm-hmm, they're idiots. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. You know what I mean? But they click because they're all just hanging out. They're sleeping on the floor. They're getting 2 hours of sleep. They're writing great songs. And then cut to 20 years later, the same people you guys hung out with at 22, a lot of them you don't hang out when you're 42. Like, all right, this fucking guy's an asshole.
Yeah,
I can't hang out with him anymore.
Like Vermeer, can
I? Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, there's some guys you think about. Yeah. I wouldn't hang out with that guy. No, yeah, I see him once in a while. Hey, man, what's up? And then imagine being in a relationship with them 20 years later.
Many have tried. Most have failed. Only a few survived. This is the Mount Rushmore of Metal.
We have a segment called Mount Rushmore of Metal. So we'll talk about bands, guitarists, singers, you know, whatever. So who's your Mount Rushmore of Metal for you?
Bands. Top four.
Yeah, what? Just four.
Top four metal bands.
Yeah. Four metal bands?
Yeah.
Black Sabbath, AC/DC, Motorhead, and... It's tough, man.
I could
throw Accept in there.
Top four all time.
Yeah,
Accept?
I could nice. Throw Accept in there. I could throw Rage Against the Machine in there. I love Rage Against the Machine. I could throw Slipknot in there. I'm a big Slipknot fan. So I don't know, man. The fourth one's tough. I'm going to throw Accept in there for the fourth one.
All right, cool.
Udo Dirkschneider is my favorite.
New guy, the singer.
No, I'm just original. Accept. I mean, Udo Dirkschneider to me has the best heavy metal voice of all time. Yeah. That's my favorite. Hard rock is Bon Scott. I like Bon Scott. I think has the best hard rock voice, and Udo has the best metal voice.
Walking down. This edition of Metal Mayhem ROC is brought to you by Mr. V's Street Style Vending. Visit our lunch cart in the College Town area at Strong Memorial Hospital or the weekend late night location at the corner of Monroe Avenue and South Goodman. Look us up online at mrvsvending.com for all catering prices and availability. That's Mr. V's Street Style Vending and Special Events Catering. Now, back to Metal Mayhem ROC.
This is the Vernomatic, and we want to thank you for stopping in and checking in and listening to this, the best of edition of Metal Mayhem ROC. Again, we've been listening to Jim Florentine in the interview we had a chance to do with him last summer when he was in town for a comedy stop. We're going to end this episode with a segment we call Metal Confessions, and Jim has a great story that he's going to share with us. So, on behalf of my co-partner, Metal Forever Mark, I'm John the Vernomatic Verno, and we'll talk to you next time on Metal Mayhem ROC.
So what I would go, I'd go in town, this is before that metal show is on the air, so I'd go in town, I always have to do local radio. So I knew if there was a band in town, I would talk about them in the local morning show, and maybe they'd come out to the show, they would hear, hey man, some comedian was talking about you. That's how I try to lure them to my show. So I'm at the comedy club in Dallas, and it's a Saturday night, and the club owner goes, hey, all the guys from Pantera are here. I'm like, they are? He goes, yeah, they're sitting right in the front. There's like 12 of them. I'm like, holy shit. He's like, yeah, they're here to see you. I'm like, holy fuck, it worked.
Yeah,
nice.
So, you know, and then I look out there. I see all these cowboy hats. I see like 75 drinks on the table. Yeah. Everyone's doing shots. Yeah. You know, just fucking like, what the fuck is going
and
on?
Meanwhile, I'm sure for like a guy like you loving there's freaking Pantera, that's when you probably get nervous, right? You're like, oh shit, you know,
yeah,
like,
I'm like, holy shit,
forget the 200 people in the crowd
and they're sitting up front. And I know Vinny and Dime like comedy, because I know that was the thing, like on their off days they would go to the local comedy club. They yeah. love stand-up comedy, so I knew that about them. So they show up, it was Vinny, Dime, and the new you know, Phil obviously wasn't there.
Yeah.
And it was, and the new Damatran, Pat was a singer, mm-hmm. and the yeah. bass player, forget what his name was, whatever. And then it was Rita and everybody. Yeah. So, you know, I get up there and I'm like, holy shit. I'm like, hey, man, I got a guy from Pantera here, man. Give him a hand. You know, everyone in Texas loves them. They go crazy and Dime stand, they all stand up. Yeah. And then all of a sudden, Dime goes, here, man. And he hands me a shot, like Jaeger, right? And I take the shot. I go, hey, I go, thanks, man, but I don't drink before the show. I'll drink it afterwards. And I put it on the stool on the stage and the whole crowd starts booing me. I go, no, man, I don't drink before. And then Dime pours another one. He goes, he hands me two shots. He goes, fuck that. You're doing a double now.
Oh, yeah. No.
And then I just did two shots in a row. I'm like, oh, shit.
No, bets are off.
I'm like, all right, man, if I do these two shots, I got to do my show, too. So I go, all right, fine, but you got to do them, too. And I did the two. The place went nuts.
Yeah, Dimebag's telling you to do shots, man.
Exactly. I don't turn it down. Right. And then afterwards, I had a limo outside because those guys bought an old limo, and they had one of their friends drive them around. They'd pay them, I don't know, like $250 on a night. So whenever they would never drink and drive. They go, yeah. just call him up. He's on call. He'd come out. We'd take the limo, and we'd just go out drinking. So that was the thing. They were professionals. They,
yeah.
you know, they had Pedialyte in the limo to hydrate, you know what I mean, from drinking so much. Yeah, I was in their rider on the bus. Pedialyte was at height. So before you go to bed, you got to drink a lot of Pedialyte.
True.
So you don't wake up hungover.
Yeah,
and,
yeah,
you know,
yeah.
So, and yeah, so we go in the limo. He's like, I want to play the new record, the Damage Plan record. I'm like, yeah.
Dude, this is.
So this is before it's even out. This is 3 months before it's out. And they're fucking cranking it in there. It sounds like a concert. And they're all fucking headbanging and singing. I'm like, holy. And me and the other comic, the local comic, like, holy shit, this is unbelievable. We're hanging out with fucking these. And then he brings us to the strip club.
Oh, okay. Even better.
Yeah, yeah. Brings us to their strip club.
I'm like, I'm in now.
Like, yeah, he's like, come on, we're going to the strip club. Like, all right. And we're there till like 6 in the morning, fucking stumbling out of there. And Dimebag brought me up in the back room or whatever. We talked just metal for like an hour. You know, just talking. He's like, dude, man, when you're up on stage, man, it's all about the audience. He goes, it doesn't matter if there's 5 people there or fucking 90,000. Because they played the Moscow Peace Festival. He goes, we're going to do this new band. We don't know. We're going to play clubs. Still got to give it a – if there's 5 people, do 2 hours instead of an hour.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I always remember that. He goes, you got to give them a show no matter who shows up.
Yeah.
I've always been like that. Like there's 3 people at the comedy club. Oh, man, I'll do it. You sure you want to do a show? I go, I'll do 2 hours.
Because you make 3 fans. It may not
in front of 3
fan,
people.
Of
so, yeah. And he was trying to call Zach Wilde. He goes, dude, man, I got this guy. You're going to fucking love me. He's from Jersey. Wake up, motherfucker. It was like 4 in the morning.
Do you know Zach awesome. At the time?
No, I didn't know Zach at the time. This was before that metal show, so I didn't know.
And that's when he was full blown
drinking.
Oh yeah,
and then sober.
So then about a month later, I'm back in town doing a club again for some reason, and there's a birthday party for Dimebag at his house where you're just throwing for him.
Uh-huh.
I said, all right, I got to do a show. I'll be over there after the show. So I do the show. I get there at like 10:30. It's a party for Dimebag. It's his birthday. There's like 50 people there at the house. He's already passed out at 10:30, out cold.
Oh, man.
So, yeah, I'm like, all right. So I still went to the party. It was amazing. Vinny was there and everybody was great, right? And then I'm going to the airport the next morning. It's like 7:30 a.m. My phone rings. I'm like, the fuck? I'm not picking this up. And it was Dimebag. He's like, Florentine, sorry, man, I passed out. 7:30 in the morning, I'm at a titty bar. If you're in town, fucking meet me there. No, because I was getting on a plane. Oh, I was getting on a plane. 7:30, I'm at a titty bar.
So you got to get out of it.
It's fucking great, Texas, man.
Isn't it fun, though? But then you see how those guys really push it, man, right? Like, their lifestyle, just, like crazy stuff.
Yeah, it was
like,
great. It was
six in the morning is nothing for them.
Like, nothing.
Thank you for listening to Metal Mayhem ROC. Check out our websites at metalmayhemroc.com and metalforever.com for information on upcoming concerts, podcasts, archives, and all sorts of info. Please like, follow, and share with everyone. Catch us next time on WLFE DB Radio.